This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We're continuing our studies in the subject of the church, and we're trying to follow the simple New Testament pattern, regardless of the traditions of various groups and of the various usages of the word church. Just now, I'd like to have a study with you on the subject of discipline in the church. Now, the word discipline really means child training. It would include teaching, according to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 12 to 16. He tells us there that we ought not to continue to be babies, little children. We ought to grow up. We ought to learn. And the Lord has provided for us so that we can grow up. Child training includes chastisement. The Lord has to chastise his people sometimes, but some responsibility for correcting things that are not right is placed in the hands of the Christians themselves. A local congregation of Christians following the simple New Testament pattern must have some discipline. The reasons for this are, first of all, that God is holy. And if we're going to have fellowship with God, we've got to keep sin out of our lives and out of the local congregation of believers. Because sin is like leaven. It permeates the whole until all the Christians can be defiled by any sin that is permitted in the life of even one of these. And then our testimony before the world is dependent upon our keeping Christians right, keeping the testimony clean. There are at least seven forms of discipline in the New Testament. The simplest and mildest form of discipline is that of personal trespass. The Lord Jesus himself mentioned it in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And this is reiterated in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul writes to them about some Christians going to law against one another. And this is very wrong. It's forbidden in the Scripture. No Christian should ever sue another Christian at law. He said, you must not go to law before the unjust. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And then he says, if ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So personal trespass is to be judged in the local church and taken care of before it grows into something worse. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he tells us about another kind of discipline, and this is discipline for disorderly walk. And this is what he says about it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We command you, brethren, verse 6 says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Now, this word disorderly is a military term, and it means out of rank, out of step. A Christian who is disorderly is one who is out of step. And he is to be disciplined by withdrawing ourselves from him. That is, showing him that we disapprove of what he is doing. Then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, we're told, if any man be overtaken in a fault. Now, this is an outward sin, but this is falling into a, an error, making a mistake. Ye who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou be tempted. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20, he carries it a step further. Here you have the problem of a person who is openly rebellious. Them that sin, and the word for sin here is a word that means open sin or rebellion. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. This is public rebuke. Now, I know that these things are not practiced in very many congregations of Christians, but this is a scriptural pattern. I'm trying to show you in these studies how God intended that the church should be conducted. In Titus chapter 3, we have the case of what is called a heretic. Now, a heretic simply means a lopsided person, a person who is majoring on minors, a person who has one string on his harp and he harps on that all the time. The truth that he is teaching may be a truth, but he may be overdoing it. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition rejects, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So you see, the local church has control over the teaching as well as over the actions of its fellow members. In the 16th chapter of Romans, we're warned against those who cause divisions among the Lord's people. Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 17 says, mark them which cause divisions. And this is in the present and continuous tense. Those who are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now the seventh and most serious of all forms of discipline is for two different things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, discipline may reach the point of putting away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's exactly the way he words it. Read the whole fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians and see that the Lord will not permit the sins of covetousness, extortion, railing, fornication, drunkenness, idolatry. He will not permit these things to go on among God's people. And if a person who is called a brother is guilty of these things, he says you must judge them. You must put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, very much the same thing is said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 to 19, where he warns against those who are teaching false doctrine. And this, of course, is doctrine that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus or dishonors the person and work of the Lord Jesus in some way. Such persons are not welcome among the Lord's people. Now, there are many companies of Christians who say, well, we receive only our members. This is unscriptural. Then there are others who say, we receive everybody. We just leave it up to the person. This, too, is unscriptural. We are to receive all those who give evidence of being genuinely saved, really born-again people, and whose lives are clean, free from immorality, and whose doctrine is pure, free from anything that would dishonor the person of Christ, any teaching that is unscriptural. Now, discipline, according to the Word of God, is to be ministered by the elder brethren, the elders in a given assembly, congregation of Christians, and is to be ratified by the whole congregation. For he says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, some are afraid of this. They say, well, I don't feel that we're capable of judging others. The Bible says we mustn't judge. But the Bible also says, beware of false teachers. So you ought to have discernment enough to know whether they are or are not. You certainly can tell if a man is drunk or not. And if he's persisting in it, we're not judging this man. We're simply acting on the scriptural principle that sin is not to be allowed among the Lord's people. Now, there ought to be shame and contrition and repentance on the part of all Christians, because whenever one person is guilty of wrongdoing, we can be very sure that all of us are responsible to some in some degree. According to Leviticus 6 and verse 29, they were all to eat the sin offering. Whenever a sin offering was brought, they all shared in eating this sin offering. And when we realize that there is sin among the people of God, we all ought to be affected by it. And then when discipline is carried out, there ought to be a right attitude on the part of the elders who act for the congregation, and there should be a right attitude on the part of the younger Christians. They must realize that this is being done for the honor of the Lord Jesus and for the good of all his people. You see, there is great responsibility in being numbered among those who are saved, being a part of the local congregation. But if I'm speaking to someone today who has never received Christ as Savior, you are not disciplined as a child of God because you are not God's child, but you will be judged as a criminal and sent away into God's prison house. If you would just come to the Lord Jesus and have your sins put away, receive the Lord as Savior, then you would have a part among the people of God, and the things that I've been reading to you today would concern you. If you are a child of God, remember the responsibilities that you have to maintain the testimony to the name of the Lord Jesus. Be careful of your own actions. Our Father, we pray about thy word just now spoken, that it may help thy children, that those who are not yet saved might come to our Savior very soon. We pray in his name. Amen.